everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hello.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today we are talking about season 5, episode 4 of One Tree Hill, titled It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding, which, fun fact, is a song by Bob Dylan.
Of course it is.
Yep. God, what a dramatic fucking episode title.
Right? Right? For an episode that's not that dramatic, honestly.
No. Are there mommy issues in this episode? Yes, absolutely.
Yes, abso-friggin-lutely. But yes. Okay. So speaking of mommy issues, we open on Brooke and Peyton at their new house. Brooke is washing dishes and looking really sad outside her kitchen window because if we forget from last week, her mother, Victoria, shocker, came by and said, no, you're done. You're leaving Tree Hill and you're going back to New York with me. So get on the plane. Chop, chop. And so she's super sad about that. But Peyton comes in and offers to help Brooke with her mom problem by saying, I've got a solution. How about a shovel and 10 feet of rope?
Listen, Peyton, the woman with two dead moms, maybe don't make a murdering a mom joke.
Ooh, yeah. God. And Brooke, she kind of goes, it's probably too much, right? And Brooke's like, yeah, I think so. But then Brooke asks her, because Peyton has a big day today, it's that the band she signed, it's their first day in the recording studio. So Peyton's very excited about that. Then we cut to Lucas, who gets a lovely little postcard from Karen and little sister Lily, who is in Scotland now. So Karen's still nowhere near Tree Hill, and good for her.
Karen and Lily are literally doing like my dream trip right now. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right?
Oh. I miss Karen so much, but I'm like, will you send me a postcard? I am so jealous.
Right? Oh, it's so good.
I also
it's
like
so
a postcard good. From Scotland.
Yes. If we have any Scottish fans, you can send us a postcard. We would
I require voice memos from all of our Scottish
there
fans.
We go. There we go.
Please.
There we go.
Yes, all please. Right.
We can try to make that happen.
Speaking of Lily, did anyone notice in the last episode when they were in Lucas's office, he has a picture of her framed on his desk?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So precious.
It's so cute.
Ugh, I went he to bring loves it up his last little sister. Week, but I forgot.
Yes. He loves his little sister.
Lucas loves his baby siblings, whether they are 21 or 4. He loves his little siblings.
Then we get a really quick scene of Peyton before she goes to the studio visiting her mom's grave, seemingly for the first time, it looks like, because she brings flowers and there's nothing else on the grave. So I'm assuming it's the first time she's visited her mom since she's been back. And then we go to the typical morning in the Nathan Scott household where Haley is trying to eat breakfast and get out the door. Carrie is there taking care of everything. And Jamie just really wants to play basketball with daddy to the point where that child dunks a full unpeeled orange into his cereal bowl, making a giant mess.
Yes, absolutely. He is a perfect
Even
child.
Even if that was an unpeeled orange, so I don't know what he was going to do with it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Other than dunk it into his cereal.
Right. Right. Because he says he's going to take it to the hoop, and he does. The hoop is just his cereal bowl, and the milk just splashes everywhere. Sorry. What did you expect?
I didn't realize it was an unpeeled orange until it went into the cereal bowl. I thought it was just a tiny basketball because that is the biggest orange I've ever fucking seen.
I know. Yep. It was a massive orange.
Yeah.
That is a massive prop orange.
Yes.
Yes. It was so cute. And so then Carrie immediately is like, all right, let's take you upstairs for a bath there, mister, because I think you've made a big enough mess. And while she takes him upstairs, Nathan asks Haley how things are going, you know, since everything's gone down and she started teaching and everything. And she brings up Quentin again and she's worried about him because he hasn't been at school. And she asks Nathan if he would be willing to help Quentin out with things because, you know, he won't listen to his teachers. Maybe he'll listen to Nathan because he's not a teacher. And Nathan says he'll think about it. And then Haley brings up the elephant in the room. And by that, I mean Nathan's mullet. She's like, are you bringing the mullet back or what? And he just looks at her and shakes his head and runs his fingers through his mullet. It's fine.
It is quite the head of hair.
It is.
Glorious.
He's got some good hair.
It's some good hair. Ben thinks it's a wig. I am unsure.
Not a wig.
Not a wig. I'm very certain
it was not a wig. I'm pretty sure they just let him grow that shit out. Because his hair was longer in the fourth season anyways, a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm betting he just grew it out, which, yeah. Lasts a whole 2.2 seconds because the next time we see him, he's got a haircut. So it's fine.
Right. No, I also missed that Haley commented on his hair because he shows up with a haircut. And I'm like, oh, haircut Nathan. Okay.
Yes, we got clean shaven Nathan last week. Now we get haircut Nathan. So yes. So then we go to, oh, yeah. Alice is leaving Mouth's place after she spent the night. But as soon as she leaves, I don't know how they didn't cross paths, but she leaves and Skills immediately comes into Mouth's room and he's like, I smell cougar.
He names the perfume specifically.
Yes. He's like, that's a cougar perfume.
That Chanel number 5 is what Emily Gilmore wears.
Yes.
Because I will never, one of my favorite lines from Gilmore Girls of all time is, when Roy's in college and they walk into her dorm room and Lorelai goes, my mother's been here. It smells like guilt and Chanel number 5.
Yep. Oh, God, it's so good. But yes, so Skills relishes in the fact that he was right, that Alice was hot for Mouth the whole time. And now he got some hot cougar love.
And some cute cougar claw marks.
Right. Some permanent scarring. It's fine.
Yeah.
God. Then we see Brooke, who is dealing with the tight schedule of opening the Tree Hill store, when Victoria comes in and immediately tries to make her go back to New York again. But Brooke puts her foot down and stands up to her. And then Victoria quickly changes her tune. And you can obviously tell it's fake. Like, it's such a 180 so quick of like, oh, okay, fine. Well, then what can I do to help? Blah, 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 blah. And she tells her how commendable it is to open a store with, you know, she's already got the inventory already set and the publicity and the caterers and everything like that to make this go, right? You've got this all covered. You should be just fine. And she leaves and Brooke immediately calls Millicent. To basically do all of the stuff Victoria just said.
Yes.
Then Nathan pays a visit to Quentin at the River Court, and Quentin is as cocky as ever and pretty much laughs at Nathan's entire career and tries to make him feel bad. But Nathan just kind of ignores it and tries desperately to get this boy to go back to school. Yeah. Well, Nathan tries. He tries. He tries real hard.
Quentin is... I understand he's probably like one of our big antagonists of the season, but I really hate him. I really,
you know, and what I'll say about that is because they keep saying that like, oh, he's like how Nathan was in season one. Nathan in season one was not this bad.
No.
Mostly because we got him and Haley really quick into season one. So she started to fix him right away. But even like pilot Nathan was not this evil.
No, because even if he didn't respect anyone else, he didn't respect his girlfriend. He didn't respect his parents. Yeah. He respected Whitey. Right.
Yeah. Whitey and Dan were like the two people barely. He respected. Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quentin doesn't respect anybody.
No.
Yeah. So then, oh God, then we get my favorite scene, which is Lindsay is getting ready to leave. So she's smooching up on Lucas before she leaves. And she tells him to stay out of trouble while she's away. And he says, what trouble could I possibly get into? Just as there's a knock at the door and she opens it and there stands Peyton. She immediately shuts the door in Peyton's face.
And says, never mind, I'm staying.
Right? She's like, change of plan. Peyton is so stunned, she knocks on the door again, and Lindsay answers it again and does not shut the door in her face. She actually comes out and talks to her and tells her, you know, she's kind of getting ready to leave. She's on her way out. And Peyton starts by apologizing for being such a bitch and asks for a clean slate after everything and invites Lindsay to Brooke's store opening so they can, you know, grab dinner beforehand, get to know each other, you know, and just, you know, be friends. And Lindsay's like, that sounds great, but I can't because I'm going to New York right now. But you should go with Lucas. And Peyton immediately goes, I'm sorry, I can't. That's too awkward. And Lindsay's like, good. I'm glad you said that because that would have been really low. But you should still go anyways because of that clean slate.
Oh, my God.
She's not jealous.
Not at all.
Look how hard she's trying to show. She's not jealous.
Right? Yeah. Right? They're going to become best friends. I can already tell.
Besties. Watch out, Brooke Davis.
Right?
The editor, Lindsay, is coming for your best friend slot.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's funny and it's awkwardness. I loved it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then Nathan comes to see Skills and Lucas at practice with his haircut, because he gets his haircut between seeing Quentin and the boys, which is great. And he sees him at practice, and he first thanks Lucas for watching out for Haley and Jamie these last few months. And he then asks Lucas to put Quentin back on the basketball team. And Lucas is like, Haley put you up to this, didn't she? And Nathan's pretty much like, yeah, yeah, she did. Yeah, you know my wife. And Lucas says, I don't have time to teach him how to play a non-selfish game. And Nathan's like, well, I can. And Lucas is like, you will. You're going to come to every practice every day and be there with him to teach him. And Nathan's like, if that's what it takes. And Lucas says, fine, I'll do it for you.
Yep.
Great.
King.
Yes. Oh. Also, I'm very happy the brothers are on good terms again.
Brother love.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. No more threatening to kill each other over liquor bottles. It was a dark first episode.
No, I'm just kidding.
Then we go to Peyton in the studio with the band, and they're playing one of their songs, and she suggests that they play it, you know, at a little slower tempo, and they completely ignore her suggestion, and she stops them and says, I thought I told you to play it a little slower if you guys don't mind. And Jason's like, nope, it's my song. I'll play it how I want. He's not going to be a problem at all.
No.
Slightest.
I literally wrote K-Fed makes me miss Chris Keller. Like, yeah. Legitimately. Yeah.
He makes Chris Keller look humble.
Yes.
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 God.
God. Yeah. Then Haley gets home late from work and tells Carrie she still has a few errands to run, and then, you know, then she can go home. But Carrie says, oh, no, I saw your to-do list on the fridge, and I've already done everything for you. So here is Nathan's prescription. Here's the stuff that you need to pick up. And I already baked the dairy-free brownies for Chuck's play date with Jamie, because Jamie says Chuck is lactose intolerant. And then Carrie whisks away Jamie with the dairy-free brownies to Chuck's playdate, leaving Haley very surprised and stunned, going, oh, I have nothing to do now. Okay, great.
I mean,
I just like that she says, have a dairy-free afternoon.
Right? God.
I don't know what it is about tiny kids saying big words, but Jamie bursting into that conversation saying, Chuck's lactose intolerant was... just everything.
And the thing was... is, that child's smart enough to know what that means.
Absolutely.
Because he's a goddamn genius. Words. Yep.
Yep.
Oh, God, I love him. Then we go to, then we go back to Close Over Bros, where Victoria comes to see Brooke and, again, offers to help before insulting Millicent again and calling her Slavic bag lady and that she should be fired.
She's so mean to Millie.
Yes.
I hate it.
Yes. And so then she goes to talk to Millicent to give her, you know, something to do or whatever. And she tells Millicent to call the New York office and bring the entire couture line to the store.
Sus. Mm-hmm.
Super
That's
sus.
Suspicious.
Right.
That's weird.
Yes. Then we go back to Peyton, who is now over at Haley and Nathan's. While Nathan's doing some physical therapy in the pool, Haley and Peyton are standing by, hanging out at the pool. And she asks... or she talks about the difficulties of recording with the band, and she asks Haley if she would want to come with her and help her out with the band. And Haley's like, I don't know. I don't have time. Blah, 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 blah. Nathan's like, yo, we have a nanny now who has the house spotless and is taking care of our child. So you have some free time. Go do it. And so yep. Haley's like, okay, fine.
Great. Twist my arm.
Twist my arm. Yes. Then we go to Quentin. Comes to Lucas's office, and he is as cocky and as shit ass as ever. Like, it's really bad. And Lucas tells him he's building a team here. But Quentin tells him he's going to play the way he wants, no matter what Lucas thinks, or he'll just leave.
Dick.
I hate everything about that scene. I hate it.
I guess my biggest thing about this conversation is I was having a hard time reading Lucas and what... he had cooking in his
I think Lucas brain. Was trying to be like the tough cop thing of like, okay, here's your second chance, dude. Don't blow it.
Right.
You know, this is, you're going to have to work hard and you're going to have to do this and you're going to earn your spot. And Quentin basically just said, man, screw you. I'm going to play the way I want or I'll just leave.
Right.
And we all know you need me to win. So, sorry. I will say, Quentin does have the upper hand in this situation.
Yes.
He has all the cards.
Yeah. Kind of. But how, Quentin's been on the team before and they were still losing because, as we learned, you can't win a basketball game with a ball hog.
No.
Like, even if they are your top scorer, you have to win basketball as a team. That's what Whitey was saying the first four seasons.
And this is what Jessie's learned about basketball since starting this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. She is now a sports person.
I am now sports lady. Okay. I've watched so much football in the last 2 weeks, guys. I know this is not a football show, but I know things about football now. I can tell you.
I'm so happy for you.
All the RIP hot quarterbacks Vikings. Play for. I can.
Wow. All the important things.
All the gentlemen. Important things.
Sure.
Yes. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Moving on. Then we go to the recording studio again. And Haley agrees with Peyton. There is something very special about this band, but they don't really know what it is. They don't know what really is the catalyst for all the spark this band has. And Haley then asks if she can go in there and talk to them and kind of suggest a few things. And Peyton's like, sure, go ahead. So Haley goes in there and suggests that they change up one of their melodies a little bit, but Jason is completely against it and a complete jerk. But we do see while Haley is playing the melody, the keyboard player also mimics that melody after only hearing it once, which is kind of cool. But Jason, like I said, is completely against it, is a complete jerk to her and Peyton. Before he's like, I'm going on a smoke break. Great. Great, great, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we go to Mouth, who is at work when one of his coworkers comes in and says that he saw Mouth coming out of Alice's office. And Mouth just has panic face. Complete panic face. Should. Yes. And, but no, the coworker doesn't assume what actually was probably happening in the office. He just assumes that Alice was yelling at him because she's so awful and hates everyone and everyone hates her. And he really wishes someone would just stand up to her one day. Yeah. Great. Cool.
Yep. Also, is this our first, character with like an actual honest to God, like Southern accent in this whole series?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Then back at the studio, Peyton apologizes to Haley for Jason. And Haley says that she's worked with self-centered musicians before. Chris Keller, ring a bell, anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But again, like we said, Chris Keller's a saint compared to this asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Haley then says that she wants to produce their record and says she feels like her life is ending rather than beginning. And she's only 21 years old. And Peyton's like, sure, you can go ahead and produce their record if you want. I love that. Great. Then at Close Over Bros, Brooke thanks all of her friends, which were, I think it was Peyton, Lucas, and Mouth, for helping her out by giving them all free pizza and complimentary death threats if they get any food on any of the clothes. And their break's up in 20 minutes, and she loves them all very much. And Lucas just says it's a good thing that, you know, fame and success has not changed her whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Flashback to the sweatshop that was in her apartment in season 3.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Never forget the Brooke Davis Close Over Bros sweatshop.
Never forget. Right?
God. Then Lucas asks Peyton how the band is going, and Peyton says she's unsure about everything, but Lucas gives her some kudos and says that she's more than capable of handling all of this. Yay for friendly pep talks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Brooke goes over to Victoria and thanks her for being there, and she tells her that she didn't think it could happen this afternoon, but, oh no, Victoria tells her that she didn't think this was going to be happening when she came in this afternoon, but she should be proud of herself because she's pulled it off. And then Brooke leaves and Peyton comes up to Victoria and tells her how good it is that she's supporting Brooke. And then Victoria just turns around and completely lays into Peyton about the only reason Brooke came back to Tree Hill was for Peyton. And she better get her act together before she ruins her daughter's life like she's ruined her own.
Woof.
Woof. This is brutal.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, she's the fucking worst.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, the Tree Hill Parenting Club, it's still real shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our best parent is in Scotland. We at least know where she is.
Yes, we know where she is. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Then Haley goes into the studio to hear Mia, the keyboard player of the band, playing her own music. And Haley really likes it and asks her if the band has ever played it before. And Mia just, every time Haley asks something, Mia just basically says, no, it's Jason's band. We play his music. We don't play my music. No, it's Jason's band. We play his music. We don't play my music.
Poor girl.
Uh-huh.
Should I know who that is?
Her name is Kate Vogel.
Yes.
Okay.
I will say she became famous because she was on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll say that. Yes.
Sounds good.
She blew up.
She already had music out, but this was what kind of, because a lot of the songs that she plays in this episode are songs that were on her first album.
All of the songs that she plays on the show are on her albums.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. So, yep. So there was a whole huge cross promotion thing. Cause I remember the CW would always do like, and what you just heard tonight was music from blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. They would always do that to promo them. And she was on every stinking thing they did. So, yeah. But anyway, moving on. We then go back to basketball practice, and Quentin completely disobeys any directive that, Lucas and or Skills give him, and he's still playing basketball selfishly. Lucas, Skills, and Nathan just watch from the sidelines, completely unimpressed by what Quentin's doing.
Mm.
Great. Cool. Then at the store, Millicent comments to Brooke how nice it is that her friends helped her out, and Brooke says she's sure Millicent has friends that would do that for her, and Millie admits she doesn't have many friends in New York, and then the conversation kind of turns to the fact that there's a large amount of couture pieces here, and Millicent immediately starts to explain that Victoria was the one, but she only gets Victoria out until Victoria interrupts and sends Millicent away.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I think Millicent is in love with Brooke Davis.
y'all.
I mean.
Did you see how she looks at Brooke every time Brooke comes near her? It's like fully hard eyes. And I'm like, oh, okay, Millie's in love with Brooke. Got it.
I mean, it's really hard to not be fully hard eyes at Brooke Davis. So I understand.
Yes. Even when she's threatening you within an inch of your life to not get pizza on clothes and you have a break in 20 minutes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Then we go to the TV station where Alice is on a complete rampage when Mouth talks back to her and tells her to lay off the team because it's not their fault what's going on. And she immediately takes him into her office and tells him never to talk back to her again. But that was kind of hot. And then they start making out. Gross.
She's got like the weirdest, like, I don't know. I don't even know what kind of kink this is, but it like... it's strong, and it is happening in the workplace, which also gives me the icks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm not usually one to yuck somebody's yum, but yuck.
There's a time and a place.
I mean, it's illegal.
Yeah. Well, that also? Too. That too. There's that. Yeah.
Some strange power dynamics. Yes.
Completely.
Really weird power dynamic, especially because she keeps acting like she hates him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Then we go to Nathan, who goes to see Quentin at the River Court again and tells him he needs to listen to his coaches. Quentin has other ideas and says Nathan is just a bossy has-been.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Dragon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then back in the studio, Jason is late to the session and he, again, is rude and talks back to Haley until she decides to kick him out of the band. And it immediately cuts to Peyton going, Haley, you cannot kick him out of the band. He is the band. And Haley's like, no, the special thing that we were seeing in that band is not him. It is Mia, the keyboard player. And Peyton's like, literally, who? My favorite thing ever. She's like, who? Mia, the keyboard player, the quiet one in the back. And Peyton's like, oh, okay. And she asks Peyton to trust her. And it's overlaid by this entire scene where they're in the control room of the studio. He's in the studio part, and there's the button where you can like hear what's going on between the control room and the studio. And it's a lot of well-timed buttons, muting and unmuting, where Jason is yelling at them until Peyton just goes, Jason, you're fired. And he goes, what the? And and it mutes and it's hilarious.
Like, who, the girl in the back who forgot the memo that we're 4 years past 2009 and is still wearing her Hot Topic
Mm-hmm. Well, what year would we technically be in? Because it would be...
What, they graduated in 08, 09?
06.
Fuck,
Cause
no.
Because remember... What? Okay, timeline things. Gonna get even crazier. So, season one was when? 2000...
Five?
Right? Was their junior year? No.
Six.
No, because it's 2008 now. So, 2004. So, they... graduated high school in 2006.
This is confusing and my brain hurts.
One Tree Hill premiered September 23rd, 2003.
So their juniors, they technically graduated like 05.
Okay, fine. It's perfect.
So 4 years in the future would put them in 09. Only a year ahead of where they actually are in the current, in the actual timeline.
Right. Because it took them so long to.
Because two seasons were just 1 year.
All right. Well, fuck my drag. I guess that is correct.
But it's still weird. Like it just, it's so weird. How long did it take us to do that? Yeah. And our math is probably wrong. If it's wrong.
No, because.
Please let us know, everybody. Send us an email. Shoot us a message on Instagram. Let us know what we're doing wrong. Because we probably are.
Because. Mia looks like a MySpace Hot Topic poster child with her bangs and her hoodie. And I'm like,
yes,
wait, what year is it?
Because roughly early to mid 2000s.
Ouch. Yes. Ouch.
Yes. So then after Peyton fires Jason, he quits and the rest of the band leave with him, all except Mia. Who Jason says, come on, Mia, let's go. And she's like, no, I want to stay. And he's like, don't be stupid. And he starts abusing her. And she's like, no, I'm staying. And yeah. And so she stays. And Peyton and Haley tell her that they're going to make a record together. And it's going to be great.
Excellent. Yay.
We have an artist now who's not a nameless band.
Ooh.
We have Mia Catalano.
And is that like... a series wrap on KFED, please?
Not quite.
Damn it. Okay.
then we go to Peyton and Lucas, who are on their way to Brooke's store opening. Peyton admits to him that it's kind of weird that they're going out to this, you know, store opening. And Lucas says, yeah, they were together, but before that they were really, really good friends. So there is no reason they can't go back to that. And I said, Lucas, you are a delusional young man.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm because
idiot,
your close friendship never had any like
sexual tension or subtext or anything. Tension. Yeah. None whatsoever. Cause one of you weren't pining for the other one the entire time you were quote unquote, just friends.
Hello.
This man, he's gotten 4 years older. He has not gotten 4 years more aware wiser? Of his surroundings.
He hasn't gotten 4 years wiser. No.
Yeah.
No. Then at the store opening, Nathan is trying to convince Haley to get a dress, but she isn't completely sure until Brooke says it looks great and it is free. Think of it as a present for taking such good care of her godson. And she apologizes to Nathan for having nothing to give him, but Nathan reassures her that, oh no, getting this dress for Haley is a present for him as well.
Nathan's entire character arc for the last half of this episode is how bad he wants to fuck his wife and how
absolutely
no one is letting him. No one is just leaving him alone.
Right. Yes. Then Mouth sees Millicent being berated by Victoria. And as Victoria leaves, he tells Millicent that he also has a terrible boss, and they both laugh about how much they hate both of their bosses until Alice walks in with a date and Mouth immediately excuses himself from the conversation.
Yep. Tell me those two would not be great together, though. Tell me that my prediction in episode one was not like, yes.
Oh, about Mouth and Millie?
Yeah.
No, absolutely. That would be so precious.
Uh-huh. Right?
Completely.
Yeah.
Then we go to Lucas, who, I take it back. This is my favorite scene from the episode. Because he bumps into Victoria and she immediately insults him as one of her daughter's ill-chosen love interests. And what? Comments on how her taste has improved since then. And she walks away. And Peyton checks on Lucas and he's like, how do I feel like, and Peyton finishes his sentences like, you just got verbally punched in the goodies. Yeah, that's a Victoria special.
She specifically says that's how she says hi.
Yeah. And Lucas says he thought Brooke was being dramatic when he described her mother. Nope, not at all. She was not.
That's so then funny.
Brooke immediately drags Peyton off to give her a dress and asks her again about Lucas. And Peyton assures her that her being here has nothing to do with Lucas. And Brooke says, good, because the cute bartender behind you has been eyeing you all night long.
Listen, and she looks good. That dress she's wearing, she looks good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it.
Mm-hmm.
Get it, bartender.
Then Skills runs into Mouth at the opening and comments on the fact that Alice is here, and Mouth is pretty down, and he says that he is done playing your game and leaves. Good for you, Mouth. Good for you. Then Lucas finds Peyton and asks her if she's ready to go. She's flirting with the bartender and she says that she's gonna stay. Lucas then leans in and tells her he's not good enough for you before he leaves. Peyton is shocked and then follows his ass out of that store and tells him not to do that. She tells him she doesn't want him saying things like that to her. It's not fair to her. And it's also not fair to Lindsay before mm-hmm. she goes back inside.
That's correct.
Here we go. Let him have it, ladies, because he deserves it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. God.
Like, what the hell, Lucas? What the hell? I can't even defend this one. I can't. Well, I won't do it.
Good.
Nope. Really, Lucas? Really?
Yeah, it's like you can't like say we're just friends, we were very good friends with your full chest. And then
yep.
You know, and then do something like that. Uh-huh. Like completely cock blocker.
Yeah, that's not fair.
No.
So then we go to after the opening, and Brooke is basking in the wonderful afterglow of opening a store, and Victoria asks her how it feels and how the store did. And Brooke's like, it feels great, but let's find out how we did. And they find out that they didn't sell any high dollar pieces whatsoever. And Victoria then lays into her and basically says, wow, with all the money you spent on the catering and the publicity and the dresses you gave away, this is the worst opening we've had of any store ever in Close Over Bros history. And she tells Millicent to pack up the entire inventory and send it to the Houston store. They're expecting it. So Victoria planned all this because she's an evil bitch. And then she lays into Brooke and says that if she'd sold just one dress, she could maybe justify keeping the store open. And then Millicent, being the queen that she is, meekly says behind her, I would like to buy this dress. And cute. Victoria basically says this changes nothing and storms off. And Brooke says, wow, this is our first real sale. And I'm going to have to frame this check. And Millicent, but wait, wouldn't that mean that you can't? Right. Yeah, that's a good thing because the check would have bounced. It's adorable. It's absolutely adorable. Then at the studio, we find Mia playing on her piano again while Haley watches on. Mia is worried that she's not worth all of this, but Haley says she is, and she needs to believe in herself and believe that. Yes. Then we go to Haley playing piano at her house, and Nathan comes in and asks her if he can see her in that new dress.
Yes.
And then he is completely interrupted by Jamie and Carrie. Jamie comes in to say goodnight to Haley, and Haley remarks about how she hasn't really seen him all day today, and she's kind of bummed about that. But she sends him upstairs and asks to talk to Carrie in private. And she thanks Carrie for everything, as it's given her time for music again, and she feels like she has her family back again. And then we get our ending montage while Mia plays her song again, which is actually one of my personal favorites. It's called Kindly Unspoken. I love it so much. So good.
Song.
One of the best songs on that record. And that plays over the ending montage where Mouth comes into Alice's office to tell her he saw her at the store opening and asks about her date. And Alice asks if he's jealous and then says that he was super boring and that's why she's here at work. And he asks what she's working on. And she says she's looking for weekend segment reporters. And then we see Mouth look down to see his audition tape on her desk. And then she says, okay, so I have one question for you. Your place or mine?
Ugh. How has this woman never been found out?
Right?
Yeah. Then Peyton comes home to Brooke crying into some ice cream. As Brooke tells her, the store failed and her mother was right and she feels like a complete failure. Well, Peyton then reminds her of all of her achievements and cheers her up a little bit before Brooke asks about the bartender and Peyton tells her she wasn't really feeling it tonight.
Lies! Lies and slander!
Then Lucas, we see Lucas call Lindsay and tell her how much he misses her.
Okay. Ah.
And
guilt trip from an ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Yep.
And then finally we see Haley go in to see Jamie asleep and she finds a drawing tucked in his bed next to him that he drew of what she thinks is her and Jamie until she unfolds it to see that it is a picture of him and Nanny Carrie, and Haley is shocked. And the episode ends.
She's sad.
She's very sad. Yes. So that was our episode, kids. What do we think?
It was good. It was great.
It's a good episode. Season 5, off to a very, very good start, I will say.
Nothing but bangers so far.
Right?
Except for Nate.
Yeah.
Well, Nathan did have bangs, but now they're gone. He cut them off.
Well, Nate's got no banging at all.
No, that's true.
No.
I just got it. It's fine.
There we go.
It's fine.
Yeah,
because we know now she's going to be too depressed to do anything with him after she just saw that. Yeah, the pictures of Nanny Carrie and Albert. So he's screwed.
He's not going to see her in that dress or out of that dress for a while.
Nope.
He just needs to focus on basketball for a minute.
Yeah. For once, God. It is basketball that he needs to focus on.
Wow.
God.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I just liked it. I hate all the people I'm supposed to hate, and I'm loving all the people I'm supposed to love, and I can't wait for Millie to profess her undying love to Brooke. Like, I'm just like, I'm here for everything.
There we go. It's great. It's just like the only storyline that I don't like is Mouth's, but we're not supposed to like it, I don't think. So there's that. Yeah.
Right.
I love everything else. It's all great. I love the fact that we have Mia Catalano now. She's great. I love the fact that Haley is doing music again, which is great. Don't like the fact that she feels like, I don't know, really weird about the whole Nanny Carrie thing, but that's a whole other thing.
I've been trying to figure out if Nanny Carrie is going to be trouble or if she's actually just like a good person that Haley starts having weird feelings about because she's very pretty and because her son is bonding with her.
Are we talking about like Brooke and Millie feelings or other kinds of feelings?
Brooke and Millie.
No. No, I think, I don't know. She's got weird feelings because her son's bonding. Like, and her husband is hot and her nanny is hot. And that usually spells trouble in TV land.
Okay.
But I mean, she's obviously already feeling insecure about it because she goes to lunch with, is it, I think it was Peyton?
No, it's Lindsay. Luke's Lindsay. Lindsay.
Oh, it
was Lucas is Lindsay.
Yeah.
And it's like, tell me I'm not crazy for hiring a hot nanny.
Yes,
so she's already feeling some type of way about it.
Yes.
Like even before Jamie drew a photo and it was not of him and his mother and it was him and Nanny Carrie.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to decide if this is going to be trouble, like internal trouble for Haley, or if it's going to be external trouble, like Rachel level trouble for Nate. Like that's where I am right now.
Okay.
So
interesting.
All the other villains, I don't even know if she's a villain, but all the villains are pretty clearly like upfront about
they're clear cut villains. Quentin and Victoria are very clear about what
Quentin Victoria Alice Jason? Is that her name?
Yeah,
Jason and Alice. Yeah.
Very very clear cut. Got it. I get what they're about. Nanny Carrie, ambiguous.
I also will say, I like the fact that we've moved on from just having one mega villain in Dan to like a bunch of little tinier villains for everybody.
This is true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had to because Dan's in jail.
Yeah.
Very true. And he can't operate his network of spies and informants from jail.
No.
Jeeves has moved on.
Jeeves and Bob are 4 years deep into their new life in New Zealand.
Yes. 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 I'm pretty sure they're in a domestic partnership and they're looking at adoption options probably at this point. Yes.
And New Zealand is much more progressive than the states are. So yes. they're good for them. Yeah, yeah.
Good for them. Yes. Oh, yes. Really? God. The headcanon that will never go away. Bob and
never. Jeeves. It will never die.
God. All right. Anything else we want to add about this episode before we wrap up, kids?
No.
No? Coolio. All right. Good. Well, then that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, do not forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out in the long run. If you have any questions, comments, and or concerns, follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. You can hit us up in the Instagram DMs if you want to talk to us or anything like that. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.